you darn sure got to be able to represent that T on your helmet.
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
And good morning. Welcome into the Blitz live on Fan Run Radio. Brandon Orrick, along with Charlie Collier. We got Chance Collins in the house. And one Lucas Panzica. As we let you know yesterday, Lucas would be making his return to the Fox Sports Knoxville Airways. Lucas, how you doing this morning?
What's up, man? I texted you yesterday, or I guess a couple days ago, I just was going to swing by and say hey, but I did not expect to get to do a full show with you. I'm upset Rick's not here, but this is awesome. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah. Whenever you first texted me, I was like, oh, cool. We'll get to see Lucas. Maybe he'll stop in for a segment. And then Rick tells me that he's going to be out of town. So I'm like,
Bachelor party.
Yeah. Bachelor party.
I feel like Rick's too young to have friends getting married. But I think I'm too young to have friends getting married, and I'm 24. So maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's right behind you. But yeah, so Rick just said that they're all listening right now, the bachelor party. So
well, congratulations to the groom.
Shout out to the groom, yeah. Nick. Shout out.
Shout out, Nick.
Chance, Charlie, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, Brandon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. You got Chance on?
Yeah, he should be. He's turned on.
Okay.
On my end.
That's good. That's good. Good to see you this morning, Charlie. Glad you could make it on time. 865-546-8200. Chance is working on getting us on the Periscope and getting everything worked out on the technical side of it. Hope y'all are doing well this morning. Got a big show lined up. Get into a couple different things. Talking a little Tennessee football, a little SEC football as well. As well as jumping into the NFL. I know Lucas, you and Charlie can have a pretty decent Titans conversation. So we might get into that a little bit later as well. But we'll go ahead and start here. Yesterday, big news in the college football world as USC transfer quarterback JT Daniels finally found a home. And I know a lot of Tennessee fans, I don't know how realistic those expectations were for Tennessee to land JT Daniels, given how, I guess, crowded Tennessee's quarterback room currently is. But JT Daniels picks Georgia yesterday. So heading into the SEC East, heading to a rival of Tennessee's.
Yeah, and I totally believe Tennessee was going to go full on after him because sign one till you got one. But it just didn't make sense to me from Daniel's perspective to walk into this kind of situation.
Right, obviously from Tennessee. Yeah. I'll take a former five-star quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. But and then at the same time, I'm a little bit perplexed by the situation he's walking into at Georgia, I guess, where I feel like some of his suitors maybe would have had offenses that were better suited to his skill set. Georgia with the run first mentality that they've had since Kirby Smart took over. Obviously, Todd Monken will step in as the OC, and we'll see how that works. But it's intriguing, that's for sure, even though we probably won't see it until next season.
And Chance, we got you now. Can we hear you now? So annoying. Anyway, the JT Daniels
Try
stuff,
again,
one thing that will help, I don't know if you've been listening to the show any or not, Lucas, but I got some beef with who's the other quarterback at Georgia? Jamie Newman.
The Wake Forest
Jamie
team.
Yeah. Newman.
Oh, there you are, Chance.
There's Chance.
Oh, I do not hear Chance. Oh, there he is.
Lucas.
What's up, Chance?
The show today. What's up, Lucas?
Good to talk to you, man. It's been a minute.
Oh, yeah, it's been a hot minute. Also, yeah, JT Daniels going to Georgia. I mean, I guess that's pretty big, but, I mean, is he going to start? Does he have to sit out a year?
It'll be up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not clear, but you would imagine unless he's able to get some kind of hardship, I just don't know what that would be.
When he initially entered the portal, that was when they were still discussing having that one-time transfer waiver being a thing in this coming season, but that got tabled until next year. So he's going to have to apply for a waiver. It seems kind of like a crapshoot whether you get one or not. Maybe being a star quarterback, he could probably get one.
It seems like that's helped in the past.
Doesn't really matter, I feel like, because he's going to end up redshirting this year anyway with Jamie Newman, I would assume.
I mean, there's no way to if he's eligible, I would expect it to be a full-go quarterback battle, because can you name another quarterback on that depth chart right now? I'm sure they've got
somebody. Vandegrift, who's
right.
a five-star.
Brock Vandegrift, that's right. I guess five-star, he is on campus by now. But I would expect him to be a full-go quarterback battle, but there's just no rhyme or reason to these things anymore about why or why not somebody gets a waiver. I mean, the guy's a California native. He's not moving closer to home. You know, he's leaving. He got hurt last year, and that spot gets taken over by Slovis at USC, and he enters the portal. So I struggle to find a real reason why he'd be eligible this season, but that tends to not matter when it comes to the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's no real rhyme or reason to those waivers and how they get approved. Although, like Charlie said, him being a star quarterback might not hurt his chances. I mean, you've seen, Justin Fields and a few others that have got immediate eligibility. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see.
Fields was like the quintessential example of just didn't win the job, so just go somewhere where he can play and he gets eligibility. So,
right.
Yeah, you could definitely doubt that he would be ineligible this season.
So, I mean, I don't know how that. I mean, like we're talking about, if he does have to redshirt, then you still got Jamie Newman. If he's able to play and if he's eligible. Like you said, Lucas, I think Georgia will have a full-blown quarterback battle between those two.
Who?
Brandon, don't forget you have Heisman favorite Jamie Newman.
Yeah, I know. That's why I hope JT Daniels plays, kind of.
I was going to say, who, I guess, scares you more in that Georgia offense?
Probably JT Daniels, but I've got this thing with Jamie Newman that I got a bet that if he wins the Heisman somehow, I've got a do all these different things.
So that's the beef.
He's got to shave his head, his eyebrows, and show up to the station and drag while eating a pepper.
Because they want to tell me
Newman wins Heisman.
They want to tell me that he's supposed to win the Heisman.
Now,
I told him there's
shave
no way.
Head and eyebrows, but what about the goatee here? You get to keep that? Because I think that would look even funnier with a goatee and no hair and no eyebrows.
If I kept the goatee?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I can't shave it all.
I'll shave it all.
I'll shave it all if Jamie Newman wins the Heisman. So we're all rooting for Jamie Newman.
I'm not rooting for Jamie Newman, Chance.
You hate to see it.
Well, don't root for him, but you must not like fun things then, because I like fun.
Well, it's not very fun when a team in your division has a Heisman-winning quarterback.
It doesn't mean that they'll necessarily be better than Tennessee. Maybe he just excels. But
I
don't know. A Heisman-winning quarterback, I feel like those it's not necessarily correlation equals causation, but There's something there. There's something there, but if you got a Heisman-winning quarterback, I feel like you're probably going to be doing pretty good.
You're probably not in New York for the Heisman ceremony if your team has won less than 10 games. I can't think of one off the top of my head of an example of that.
Did Johnny win 9 or did he win 10? I mean, maybe that.
His Heisman year, I guess.
Maybe 10-2, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe 9-3.
Probably
whatever,
a 10-win season.
Something like that. But, yeah, I mean, Jamie Newman doesn't actually scare me that much just because I don't know how well he's going to translate into Georgia's offense. I mean, sure, Georgia had a terrible offense last year with James Cooley.
Right,
But they fired him. They brought in Todd Monken, and he will do probably a pretty good job, you know, kind of building some things from Wake Forest's offense into Georgia's offense that Newman did best. But Newman was at his best when they were running the world's slowest read option and when he had Sage Surratt to throw to and man coverage. When Sage Surratt was on the field, he was probably the second best quarterback in the ACC behind Trevor Lawrence, but when Sage Surratt was hurt for 4 or 5 games, his stats were mediocre at best. I mean, he would have been probably the 6th, 7th, 8th best quarterback in the ACC. But JT Daniels, I think, scares me more than that.
So does the news from yesterday, JT Daniels transferring to Georgia, does that change your outlook on how the SEC East shapes up by the end of next season?
By the end of 2021?
Well, whenever we play next.
Right. Well, assuming
let's say that he
– if he's ineligible for this
let's
season.
Let's play devil's advocate and say he's eligible this season.
This season. I don't know because – you know, I still think it'll be a race between Georgia and Florida, and if Tennessee really makes a push for an SEC East title, it would all be a nice surprise for everybody. I think everybody's expecting that 8-9 win range, but if Tennessee's making a significant push to end up in Atlanta, that's probably just a huge bonus. I think you expect that in maybe 21 or 22. So I don't know about this year, but the following season, I think it would make things extremely interesting because, I don't know where Florida will be at that point, but Georgia is still going to be a contender. And Tennessee, as they start to get this class of 2021 on campus and maybe figure something out at the quarterback position, it could be a three-horse race for the SEC East with JT Daniels as the starting quarterback. And I think it could make it the most interesting the division has been in God knows how long. I mean, when's the last time that the SEC East was legitimately a race of three teams that could feasibly win it? I guess 2016, but it's not like, you know, Georgia is an 8-4 team.
Really us and Florida.
Right. And Florida just kind of falls backwards into getting to Atlanta. So that's what I'd be looking forward to is 2021. I think it would put a very interesting spin on the East.
865-546-8200 is our number if you want to get on. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on JT Daniels transferring to Georgia or anything else that is on your mind. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Ten 22 back on the Blitz. Brandon, Lucas, Charlie, and Chance rolling along with you until 12 o'clock. Let's head over to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Let's get a call from Big Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Josh?
It's good hearing old Panzeca back in there, Ork. It is. It's like old times. Ork and Panzeca on the coaches search, sports talk radio. That's some top shelf sports talk.
That's a blast from the past right there. No doubt. 2017 coaching search on overtime.
You know, people say that sports radio is best when the team you cover is really good, but I would argue it's even better when you have a situation like the coaching search because from not even Shino Sunday before that with the groomers. All the way through Jeremy Pruitt getting hired, phone lines are clogged from beginning to end, and as something new every day. You just look forward to coming in. So I'd argue that the dumpster fire that was that coaching search might have been better for business than if Tennessee were to win 10 games this season.
It's definitely more entertaining.
Right.
You even had the cattleman stirring the drink back in those days, Ort.
We did. Those were the good old days.
The young bucks.
Man.
Hey, so what do you think, Lucas? Is Cornbread getting it done? What can I expect? What are we going to do this year?
Well, we were just talking about it. I guess the fair expectation to be in the realm of, you know, 8 wins, I think being the floor is a fair thing to expect or to ask for, and, you know, barring a crazy barrage of injuries or whatnot, but... You know, to me, 10 wins in the regular season is the ceiling. But there's no doubt that obviously they're winning the offseason. Nobody is taking advantage of this whole dead period better than Tennessee.
Hell, I'd shave my eyebrows for 10 wins right now, Ort.
I think I might. I think I might, Josh.
I don't know. I think Kirby Smart I mean, he's just playing the odds. Having JT Daniels sitting on the bench down there for a year. You look last year in the playoffs, and you had Fields, Burrow,
Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma.
Three transfer quarterbacks. I mean, it's just smart. If we could have got him here, why not? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, college football is about quarterback play.
Yeah, I think.
And we're stuck in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Why you wouldn't get him here, I don't understand. Even though I think Bailey is the future. You never know what happens. Look at nobody thought Jake Fromm was going to take over for Jacob Eason until he got hurt. You know, anything can happen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Josh, and we brought it up. I think from Tennessee's point of view, it made all the sense in the world to go after JT Daniels. I just think for him, I think Tennessee's quarterback room was just a little too crowded.
Would you say Russ
and Bear were talking yesterday about that Ty Simpson kid. Did y'all read that, what he had to say?
I know what you're talking about.
I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, he's the big star kid down in I'm not sure. I think his dad's a coach at Tennessee Tech.
He's at Martin. He's in West Tennessee, I believe.
Okay. Well, he's like a 22 kid, and he was saying on the VolQuest that if JT Daniels came, he would have to look at elsewhere. But he's just going to be like a junior in high school. I mean, hell, JT Daniels, I don't even know if he'd be here. It didn't make any sense. I just didn't know if y'all heard anything about it or not.
Yeah, I had seen that. This 2022, the kid's what, 16 years old? And you don't know what you want when you're 16 years old. So to me, the 2021 recruiting class, when it comes to commitments and interest, there's reason to have a level of interest in that and keep up with it. But when it comes to 2022 and lower, I have a tendency to kind of wait until those kids get later on to their high school careers, you know, let them focus on passing an algebra test rather than JT Daniels 4 years down the road, what the quarterback situation might be.
Yeah, really. Well, hey, what do you think about sports, Panzeca? Are we going to see fans in the stands? Are we ever going to see any baseball? Or is this season going to play out? What's going
to
happen?
Well, it's nice to have an outline, at least by someone, one league with the NHL, at least giving us something. Baseball, I don't know, man. Has anybody had a worse 2020 than the MLB when it comes to professional leagues?
I don't think so.
When you start with the Astros and then just bleed into this, just dumpster fire. So I think there will be sports back, though. Whether or not there's fans in the stadium is a whole other issue, but I think we're to the point where when there's outlines being made and the NFL is doing a good job of not trying to jump too early to make decisions when they don't need to. So, yeah, I think it'll happen.
Well, it's good hearing you on there.
Good hearing you, too.
Max Scherzer can go straight to hell. Go Bravos! Right there.
How you like that, Charlie?
I like that Max Scherzer has a World Series ring. And, you know, Josh, you can go hang up another little pennant that says, woohoo, NL East champions, eliminated first round, and do all that fun mess and talk about how maybe we can win a playoff series this year. Maybe we will.
He said Max Scherzer straight to hell. Chance, you had a point you were going to say earlier?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think Josh could hear me like you said. I was just going to, talk about the fact of, is the transfer route, it's like the new thing in college football, and it works. Like the transfer quarterback route, most teams would opt to, get a veteran quarterback, if you want to say that, somebody that, looking for a new team, looking for a start, rather than try to bring in the freshman. I mean, it's like going after the veteran quarterback, for that has like 2 year window in the NFL, kind of what the Buccaneers are doing. I just think you see it more and more, and it does work. I mean, Lincoln Riley obviously did a tremendous job with that, but you're seeing more programs do those things.
Yeah, has it really paid off though for any programs besides Ohio State, Oklahoma, and LSU? I mean,
you could say Ohio State, like you said, LSU, and then Oklahoma. But would you could you say that they were like the they're the ones kind of being the trendsetters?
Kind of the
Michigan.
First ones.
I mean, you could say Shea Patterson. It's working out so-so. I mean, he's better. Was he better than what they had? Likely.
It did not work out for Mississippi State with Tommy Stevens.
No, I mean I don't know. It's tough. I think that it could very well become a trend chance. I could see that happening, but right now it's I don't want to say it's similar to the one and done, but in the aspect that the one and done kind of only works for Kentucky and Duke and Kansas and a select few of programs. I wonder how the grad or the transfer quarterback situation is going to work out in college football. I mean, is it going to be a situation where if is it only going to be LSU or Alabama and only your top programs that it really works out and it pays dividends for? I don't know. I do agree. I think we're kind of in the early stages of that. So I think only time will tell.
It's all very businesslike, right? Like the one and done thing.
Right.
I mean, they're student athletes, but it's still business, and these are guys that are about to be millionaires. So yeah, only the highest profile programs are going to be involved. But it even one transfer can start a huge domino effect. You're talking about Jacob Eason, Justin Fields, and Jake Fromm all being on the Georgia roster at one right. point and starting for three different Power Five programs. You know, that's a massive impact that all started that first domino with, I guess, Eason getting injured and Fromm mm-hmm. stepping in and not relinquishing the job.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how it kind of progresses, and we'll see how JT Daniels ends up at Georgia. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on and give us your thoughts just like Big Josh did. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, get into a little NFL, talk a little
Hey, we got Phil, too.
Oh, we got Phil on the line.
Yeah.
We'll get Phil on the other side. Maybe talk a little Jadeveon Clowney. Does that pique your interest, Charlie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I figured you'd be a little bit more excited. You turned down the Browns. I feel like you'd be pumped.
I mean, I guess I'm excited. We'll get to it. We'll talk about it.
All right, we'll take a break. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Run Radio on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Spend my dollar. Park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn.
Back here on the Blitz. 865-546-8200. Let's go back to the phones and get a call from Phil. What's up, Phil?
Well, how's it, Brandon?
How's it going, buddy?
How are you and Chancellor and Chuck and Lucas doing?
Doing pretty good this morning, Phil.
Great
holding
to hear
down.
From you, Phil.
Doing stellar, Phil.
Well, good. I'm glad you are, Chuck. I thought maybe you were a little down there. I thought maybe you weren't hanging around with the Swabbles last night or something.
No, I'm doing great.
Guys, Chance was talking about those transfers. Next year, it's really going to be big because there's going to be all kinds of transfers starting, January next year. That's when the things will be going in full automatic transfer.
Yeah, that's about when the portal takes off normally.
Are you saying is that when they push the vote back too? For the one time transfer?
It's gonna be approved. They're just
Yeah, I mean I think it will. I think it will too. I can't remember when they pushed the
vote. Pretty sure it was January.
But when you look at it, it's going to affect basketball more too, because look at Texas Tech. That's how they got to the Final Four, by taking transfers.
Yeah, it worked out for them.
Yeah, and they got McClung just a couple days ago.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see. Lucas, what's the spin about Tennessee in the mid-state, especially the football players that are saying no to Tennessee?
Say it again, Phil. The football players that are what?
Saying no to Tennessee when it comes to football recruiting.
Well, I think you're hearing more about the ones that are saying yes. I think it's really nothing but positivity right now. Since the start of this whole thing, that's been I mean, really, it's just been that and NFL free agency that's sort of dominated. And yeah, Phil, I got to say, I'd say people are talking more about the ones that are saying yes.
Well, what about Colson?
Yeah, Colson to Michigan was an interesting one. I don't know what his I guess school of thought was there, if he just wanted to get away from home. But it is interesting how it Jeremy Pruitt doesn't seem to, at least doesn't outgoingly put a huge emphasis on keeping guys in state. You know, he doesn't care where you're from, whereas Butch Jones was hashtag make a statement, right, with the capital state. But they haven't had a ton of success with the in-state guys. And a program like Ravenwood, I mean, that's a program that's just turning over four or five-star talent to Power Five programs. I think Brenningstuhl, the tight end, a Clemson commit, and Colson, the outside linebacker, the top two players in Tennessee for 2021, both of them going outside the SEC even. So yeah, it's been interesting. I don't know if it's because they're just not putting as much of an emphasis on in-state kids, or maybe that's something the staff doesn't even think about. I would think Jeremy Pruitt would tend to lean towards the talent coming out of Alabama, because that's the landscape he knows well. He knows probably most high school coaches in that area. So it's a good question, yeah. Phil. I mean, I don't know how the staff views it when it comes to in-state talent.
Well, I think 2022 is going to be a lot better year in state, and maybe Tennessee will get a better share of in-state players. But, I mean, if you're going to win big, you got to recruit Georgia, Florida, Atlantic Seaboard, and that's pretty much what they're doing right now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what you've seen is, like you said, putting less emphasis on in-state recruiting and kind of focusing more on, like you said, Phil, Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, and Alabama. I mean, you've seen, going into the state of Alabama and getting the number one player in the state. I saw an article from Bleacher Report that had that ranked the best states that high school talent comes out of, and the list was tied for fifth was Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi. Four was California, Texas was three, and then Florida and Georgia were tied for one. So, I mean, I think Tennessee's kind of hitting most of those areas. I mean, obviously, you've got to do a little in-state recruiting. You gotta keep everybody happy, but I think the plan that they've got laid out for recruiting right now, it's obviously working.
I mean, when you just look at 2020 and what they did out of Memphis, I thought was significant with Amari Thomas and Jabari Small. You know, you target a school that with a pair of teammates and get both of those guys, obviously keeping Cooper Mays. And then when you look at 2021, guys like Walker Merrill, I think the talent in the mid-state kind of in 2021 at least overshadows a little bit what's happening in Memphis as opposed to 2020, where I think Memphis had a little more of those upper tier guys. So, Phil, I don't think they discriminate when it comes to state. I think they just use their connections, target guys they like, whether they're from Knoxville or Sheboygan, and they go after them.
Well, I'd like to see them get back in Ohio. When Tennessee was in their heyday, they recruited Ohio well, even though Ohio State's going to get what they want out of that state. But there's always good players in that state, and Tennessee hadn't been up there in a long time and got any good players.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't. There may be, but I couldn't tell you a recent Tennessee prospect from Ohio.
Exactly. And you look at it, it's all about the recruiting trail, and you all know it, and I know it. And right. Hopefully we can get some of them down here. But let's get rid of this coronavirus, guys. You know what?
I'm with you,
Amen.
Phil.
Y'all wearing masks right now?
Not currently.
I don't do the mask things, Phil. I'm done with the coronavirus. I declared it over.
Oh, you're tough, huh?
Huh. I mean,
let's go out and drink a beer then, Chuck. See you.
See you, Philly.
You tell me when and where, Phil. I'll meet you there.
Did you just say that you declared the coronavirus over?
Yeah, I did.
I don't think you can do that.
Well, I did, so. It's done with. I don't care about the sniffles anymore. If you're at risk, then that's one thing, and you should obviously take more precautions. And, hey, maybe we can even, you know, do something to continue to help these people out economically. But everyone else, let's just go back to normal. Let's just pretend like life's normal again, and let's just do it.
What if you go somewhere where they require you to wear a mask?
I don't do it. I just won't go there.
So you wouldn't go, like, if you have an emergency and you have to go to the doctor, you wouldn't go?
All right, well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're going to be that guy, Brandon Orick.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've known Brandon long enough to know he is that guy.
I'm not a big doctor's
guy either. I don't really do doctors.
You would be. All right.
Of course you don't, Charlie. Of course you don't. You don't do doctors. You're a Nationals fan. Really, how long have you been a Nationals fan? I really
want to know. The day they came to D.C.
And why?
My family lives up there. We don't have any teams in Tennessee. Until then,
DC
I was just like...
Just in the DMV area?
My grandmother grew up in D.C. She now lives in the DMV area in Northern Virginia, about 13 miles outside of D.C.
Like Josh told you, everybody really roots for the Orioles up there. Like, what are you really doing?
I mean, the Baltimore side of things roots for the Orioles. The Virginia side of things roots for the Nats.
I don't know about that. It's just weird.
I mean, we won a World Series, Chance, so I don't really care.
Anyways,
the happiest day of my life.
Anyways, take a quick break. On the other side, we'll wrap up the first hour of the show.
That was fast.
On this Friday edition, we got Lucas Panzeca sitting in for Rick Butler as he is out of town for a bachelor party. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, wrap up hour number one. You listen to The Blitz on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Blitz.
Yeah, she likes El Sweet, like me sweet tea. And she likes my boots with these blue jeans. And she likes popping buttons on my first man. And she likes my cowboy hat, but she loves me for my twang. Reminds her of a little hang.
Cause you know real country.
Little Mason Ramsey. We were on overtime when Mason Ramsey broke out. What were we?
In that Walmart?
Yeah, in the Walmart.
It's been three years, 2 years.
He's come a long way.
The big EDM remix of him in the Walmart.
I'm not familiar.
That became like a huge thing in like the bars around.
I'm sure you've
and everything
heard it.
Else.
Yeah, I probably.
I'm sure you've heard it.
I don't even remember what song. Oh, it was "Lovesick Blues," right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that was That was his big break in the Walmart.
Why don't we have more Mason Ramsey bumpers? Mason Ramsey bumpers. Yeah, I said it right the first time.
I mean, I don't know. Are you?
I'm requesting more.
Well, when's the next album coming out?
Do you have an expansive?
We only need twang. All we need is twang, though. That's all you need.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We could maybe throw in a little Lovesick Blues, and I don't know. Maybe be a little...
Maybe Famous.
I couldn't tell you any other song. Good job.
Oh, Famous, yeah.
Famous is a
I
good one.
I forgot about Famous. Do you have an expansive knowledge of Mason Ramsey's catalog, Charlie?
Well, I think we just named like three of his four songs.
Yeah, we've dedicated the whole segment to him so far.
He's got to have more than four songs.
Well, he's featured on that one version of Old Town Road.
Oh, yeah. Mason Ramsey. King.
We're talking about him. He's doing something right.
King Mason. Yeah. Hopefully he drops a new album soon. Who knows?
King Mason, is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah. King Mason.
I saw him live.
Really?
You saw him live?
Yeah, like right after he took off, I was at a country music festival down in wherever, Alabama.
You are such a strange individual. You saw Mason Ramsey.
I didn't like go for Mason Ramsey.
I remember.
I got there real early that Saturday for like the big headliners that night, and at like 12:30, all of a sudden I was like, oh, there's a kid on stage. I was like, oh,
who was a big headliner?
It's Mason Ramsey.
Who was the headliners?
You had Hank, Eric Church, Brett Young, Thomas Rhett, Riley Green, Marshall Tucker Band.
I think. Before he kind of made it big, so it was after the Walmart video, but before he came to
the Knoxville Walmart.
Yeah, he was saying at the University Commons.
He did a Walmart tour at one point.
Yeah, the old.
I remember that. I was in Knoxville during that time, and it was people were like, "Don't go to Walmart."
The old Walmart tour for King Mason. He's come a long way. He's come a long way, and we love to see it.
I'd like to know somebody that went to the Walmart and saw him here. Please call in and tell us how that went.
I'm sure there's somebody. Have you all heard of this? Apparently it's a big problem. Here's the headline. Starving cannibal rats in search of new food sources becoming aggressive, CDC warns. Aggressive cannibal rats in New York City.
Eating each other.
Yes, yes, not humans. I think you heard about this, right, Charlie? We were talking about this at the bar the other night.
That's okay. I was wondering when I had this conversation.
And
yeah.
You asked that very same question. They're eating the other rats, not eating humans.
Right. I mean, when we think about cannibal, we just think about eating humans, but specific to the species.
Just eating your own species. Yeah.
But the problem would be, right, if we get these rats eating each other, then aren't the rats that are left like scary, violent super rats, and they're going to be even hungrier?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the article. Rats in cities across the U.S. have reportedly started behaving even more unusually as they branch out in search of new food sources during the coronavirus lockdowns. There's no trash. Mm. They've got no trash. They've got no food.
Wow.
The CDC issued a warning of unusual and aggressive rodents in areas with restaurants, bars, and other commercial establishments closed over a prolonged period to slow the spread of COVID-19. So yeah, these rats, they don't have any food. They're starving and they're starting to kill each other. But yeah, Charlie, that's a great point. You got survival of the fittest. Hey. These rats that survive, they're going to be
terrifying.
They're going to be like these super,
like dog-sized rats.
Jacked up, aggressive. I mean, they just destroy all other rats. It's like a super species of rats now.
And then with the super species, right? At what point do those super species rats be like, "Ah, we're tired of eating rats. We don't taste that good. I don't get enough from them. What about this small man over here?
They
like a Rick size kind of guy, or like like a woman or a children or just or a woman or a child.
Keep Rick away from the rats.
Somebody that is, you know, more vulnerable to a rat attack, and do they eventually develop a taste for human?
A rat attack?
Because I think, like, rats have eaten humans before. Like, that's happened.
A rat eating a whole human?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, not, like, one rat. A little gang of rats. Like
a dead
rat
human.
Pack.
Yeah, maybe a dead one. But
I think they've eaten them alive before.
Who's just laying there letting rats pick at them?
Well, it's not on purpose. That used to be like a form of torture.
Oh, well, yeah. They put them in the bucket and then put the fire at the end of the bucket.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's
how
they did
it in that book, the George Orwell book.
Oh.
1984,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, seems like a bad way to go, having a rat
that sounds
dig through your...
like probably the worst death I can think
what's
of.
What's your source here? What's the initial source?
Let's see.
Is like The Onion or something?
The Independent.
The Independent.
But that was, it's also, there's NBC News, The Guardian, MSNBC, Fox. It's reputable. Well, I don't know how reputable the Guardian is, but NBC, they're good. So, yeah, we got these. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a Netflix documentary. I don't know if it's still out there, but I watched it about a year ago about rats. It's like a 3-part documentary, and it will just shake you to your core. If rats wanted to, the world could be theirs, and there's not a thing we could do to stop them.
See, I'm not. I would much rather deal with snakes or things like that than rats. I don't do rats.
I hate rats.
Don't do rats.
Snakes
and
over
my,
rats.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I hate them. Not even dislike intensely, I hate rats.
I used to hate them when I had to deal with them in Fort Sanders.
I like snakes.
But I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a rat.
Like, I love snakes. So if I see a snake, I'll pick it up and play with it.
That just seems insane.
Well, I mean, if you grab it, like, right behind the head, and you just hold it like that, it can't do anything to you.
Also, if you just walk away from it, it also can't do anything to you.
Well, yeah.
I think it's one thing to do that if you're, I don't know, in your early 20s, but if you see like a 10-year-old kid doing that, probably cause for concern.
I was at the quarry and
or
saw
like
a
Steve
4-year-old
Irwin.
Kid just barehand the snake and just like walk up to me and look, I caught the snake.
Could have been the next Steve Irwin. You should have got his autograph. Next crocodile hunter. R.I.P. R.I.P. 865-546-8200. Hour number two, we're going to reset. We will get into Jadeveon Clowney and hit the NFL a little bit. Brandon Kennedy talked. He went on. Have you seen the Slice podcast that Tennessee's been doing?
Yeah, bits and pieces. They're doing a good job with it.
Yeah,
Casey and them are doing a good job.
Yeah, it's been. I've enjoyed that. Brandon Kennedy had some interesting things to say about Jeremy Pruitt. Also, Rick Barnes gave some words on the 2020-2021 Tennessee basketball team and some of the expectations that are on that team for next year. So we will get into that and much, much more. 865-546-8200. Also, when we're in the NFL, this new onside kick rule, have you seen that?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Won't happen in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when or if it'll happen, but if it did.
It's coming eventually.
I'm
not
sure
this year.
How I would feel about it. Take a quick break. Hour number two coming up next. Outstanding, so I stand out.